I'd like to again say welcome to all who come out to worship God this morning. We're sure glad to see everybody. I love that last song, God is Love. Because God is love, let every soul from sin awake. That line goes very well with what we'll be preaching about this morning. I don't know if you've ever thought about, probably you have, how really, really dumb sin is. We want to talk this morning about the stupidity of sin. Most of us don't like to be thought of as being stupid. We don't like others to think that we've done something that is less than intelligent. We don't want other people to think that, well, we're fools. There's a regular feature on a local radio station. The announcer does a section called Dumb Criminals. Maybe you've caught that, or maybe you've seen something like it on television where they have footage of some really foolish things that criminals have done. I heard about two burglars that were arrested in Germany when they stopped after a burglary to ask police for directions. The men, ages 20 and 28, had all of the goods that they'd just stolen in plain view in the back seat of their car. Not the smartest thing that anybody ever did. I heard about a fella in Wichita, Kansas, who was arrested at an airport hotel when he tried to pass two counterfeit $16 bills. And then I heard about at a service station in Ionia, Michigan, a man was drunk and tried to rob the service station when he was drunk, and the guy wouldn't give him the cash, and so he threatened to call the police if he wouldn't give him the cash, and the guy still wouldn't give it to him, so he called the police on himself, and of course was promptly arrested when the police got there. Those are just a few of many, many examples. And as you think about that sort of thing, we think, how ridiculous, how completely foolish that people would do this kind of thing and then expect to get away with it. How embarrassing. And don't you know, when that drunk woke up the next day, how simply idiotic that he felt when he was probably told, he probably couldn't remember, that he called the police on himself. What an embarrassing thing. I want to tell you this morning that in talking about the stupidity of sin, I don't like to use the word stupid, and I don't use it lightly. It is a word that we forbade our children to use in our home when they were growing up, because I find that, like a lot of other words, children don't know when to apply the word. And so they'll apply it to something that it shouldn't be applied to, and so we just didn't say it. But in saying that, I want you to understand that it's a biblical word. It's found in several different translations of the Bible in a number of different places, depending on which translation you're using. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, in the New King James Version that I use, it says that he who hates correction is stupid. That's the Bible. So the things I'll be talking about this morning about the stupidity of sin, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about something in some sort of flippant way, and I'm not using a word that the Bible doesn't use. Rather, I'm trying to describe sin in a way that the Bible does describe it and get us to understand what it is in a way that the Bible wants us to understand, that God wants us to understand what it is. As I thought about the stories of the criminals, you know, I was struck with the reality of the stupidity of sin. At best, it provides pleasure that is just for a moment, isn't it? Moses chose to suffer rather than enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, Hebrews 11:25 will say. Here's something that you do just for a moment, and you could receive punishment for all eternity for that momentary bit of pleasure. So it's no wonder that in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, we're told to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin looks like it's pleasurable. It looks like it's the smart thing to do. It looks like here's something that you can do and get some enjoyment and get away with it. And ultimately, you pay your eternal soul for it. It is the most foolish of bargains. We study Esau in the Old Testament. Most of us, all the way down to the little children, could tell the story of Esau. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, his story is referenced. We're supposed to look carefully, it says in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person who, like Esau, for one morsel of food sold his birthright. You tell that story to the kids and you say, well, here he had this, he was coming in from the field and he was hungry and his brother had this pot of stew and he gave up all of the future blessings of his father, his birthright and everything for a pot of stew. I mean, how dumb can you be, right? And we look at that, we look at Esau and we say, how could anybody be so foolish? Are we any better at all when we choose sin over righteousness? When we choose to indulge ourselves in pleasure that is momentary? When we're giving up all eternity as a consequence? I think Esau looks pretty smart compared to that. At least he got a pot of stew. Sin is foolish. Sin seeks to satisfy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, while causing one to sell their soul for that which is passing away. Sin is a bad deal under any consideration. It is, as Paul says in Romans 7 and verse 13, exceedingly sinful. Sin is exceedingly sinful. I want you to go in your Bibles, if you will, with me to the book of Proverbs this morning. And as we consider just how foolish sin is, and of course the point of the lesson will be to get us to look at our lives, some things that we may be doing or have friends and acquaintances that are doing, and realize just how foolish some of these things are so that we might turn away from them. Because, as we said, nobody wants to be seen as being stupid. And the book of Proverbs approaches many sins in this way. The word that's commonly used in the book of Proverbs is fool or foolish. But as I said, the word stupid is there as well. The concept is that somebody's just not smart spiritually when they do things like be lazy. You realize that laziness is a sin? I think in our day and time when we're given over to so much leisure time and we think we can spend it however we want to, do nothing if we want to for extended periods of time when there's lots of stuff to be done, I think it's difficult for us to understand in our culture that laziness is a sin. But it is. Look at what the Proverbs say in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Now, we know how busy ants are. You know, you mow over those fire ant hills and the next day they're right back where they were. You poison them and they move 2 feet over and they start back up again. Ants are busy. They're not lazy. Verse 9, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. What happens is you get lazy, you allow yourself to sleep in and sleep in and sleep in. You don't get out and do what you should have done, what you could have done, and you wind up not having what you could have had, what you could have worked for, what you could have achieved. Young people, as they come into maturity, have a problem with this, but it can be a problem for somebody of any age, where a person, they just don't get up and do what they could be, what they could do. And at the end of the day, they don't have what they could have had. And then they feel sad. Well, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I didn't get to do that, or I didn't get to go to my... Well, you didn't get out of bed. You didn't get up and get busy. And so there's a foolishness that goes along with laziness. And it results not only in not having what you could have otherwise had, but it results in missed opportunities. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. You miss your opportunities just because you won't get up and do. You waste. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Think about somebody going out and you kill an animal and you're so lazy you won't even cook it. So here you have all of this waste. We have things, possess things that God has blessed us with. We talk about all our blessings, but we don't take care of those things, and we don't take advantage of those things. We don't use those things as they're supposed to be used. God doesn't look really kindly on that, and it's really foolish. We fail to maintain sometimes things that are valuable. Listen to Proverbs 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. He said that earlier in Proverbs. We read that a second ago. It's the same thing. But here, he's applying it to a situation where somebody's got some nice stuff. Got a vineyard. Could get a lot of fruit from that. But he doesn't take care of it. He's so lazy, he won't even take care of the nice possessions that he has. We can be the same today. God has blessed us with so much. And we don't want to be a slave to our possessions. We need to understand that. But we do have an obligation. If we've been blessed with it, to use it for God's glory, not to let it waste, not to do nothing with what God has given us. If we can't use it, give it to somebody who can. If we can't take care of it, give it to somebody who will. These are basic principles, and it's foolish to do anything otherwise. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, the soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. A lot of the problems that we see in our society today come from people simply not being willing to put forth the effort to earn a living. In all honesty, I know unemployment's high and it's hard to get a job, but there are jobs out there that people won't take. There are people out there that won't work. And people are frustrated, well, I don't have what somebody else has. Do you work to get what somebody else has? Have you worked as hard as they work to get that? The concept in our culture that, well, everybody should have all the same. No, the people that work should get what they get. And if you're not going to work, if you're not going to apply yourself, you'll just be frustrated. This is true in the realm of physical things, but it's also certainly true in the realm of spiritual things. People who won't work to improve themselves spiritually, who won't put their nose to the grindstone spiritually, who won't study their Bibles, apply what they learn in their lives day by day, pray day by day, grow in their relationship with Christ, and they wonder why they're not maturing spiritually. Because they're spiritually lazy. It takes work to grow to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's not something that, you know, just happens like falling off a log, just doesn't take any effort. It's foolish to be lazy. Sexual sins are stupid. One can lose their health and their soul. Look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. Notice what he calls her, a foolish woman. He says also that she is simple. We would say stupid. A foolish woman is clamorous. And she is simple, and she knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, whoever is simple. Notice that she's simple, and now whoever is going to go into her is simple. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So you go in for a little stolen water, so to speak, and bread. And you pay your soul for it. There's the price of sexual sin. A moment's pleasure for an eternity in hell. Doesn't sound like a very good deal. People don't realize what they're doing, I guess. What a foolish, stupid thing. But it's on camera, so to speak, here. It's in full view for us. What a foolish thing sexual immorality is. And what it's really costing you for that brief moment of pleasure. Besides that, of course, a person can incur wrath from those whose trust is violated, a husband, a wife, parents. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 34, jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. People get shot and beat up and sued and everything else because of sexual immorality. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 19, the crafty woman says, "My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him, will not come home on the appointed day." And so with her enticing speech, she causes him to yield, and with her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost him his life. I've never caught a bird in a snare. I have caught a fish on a hook. Put that, you can put a little piece of cheese, you know, or a little worm or something on a hook. And that just looks so good to that fish. Just, oh, if I could just get a bite of that. That'd just be wonderful. I'd just be in hog. If I could just get a bite of that worm. And you bite down on it. Oh, it tastes so good for just a moment. If you're a fish, I guess. And all of a sudden you're yanked up out of the water and you're in somebody's frying pan. The bird sees the breadcrumbs in the snare and they go, oh, that those breadcrumbs look so nice, and they land in the snare. Next minute there's somebody's Thanksgiving dinner. It's not worth it. It's a foolish sin. Slander is a foolish sin. Proverbs 10 and verse 18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. Why is that? Why is it that the one who talks slanders is saying bad things about other people, spreading rumors? Why is it that that person is called a fool? You know what's going to happen, don't you? You start telling tales about people, especially your friends, you know what's going to happen, don't you? It's going to get bad. It's going to get back to the person that you told it about. It's just guarantee it's going to get back to them. And it's going to create a problem. There's going to be a scene about it. You're going to lose a friend over it, maybe many friends. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22 about this very scenario. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. Oh, they just taste so good. And you want to hear those things, and then you want to spread them. They go down into the innermost body. Then fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. And so here's somebody, he's got to tell you something, got to say something. But their heart's not in a good place. They're fake. You know what veneer is? You put, you know, some actual plastic over wood, and it makes it look like wood grain, but it's just plastic. There are people who are just plastic. They look good on the outside. They're covered. But on the inside, there's not really much to them. Such a person has these fervent lips, and they have to tell their story. Verse 24, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. That's where it's all going. That's where all of the gossip and the tale-bearing and all of that is going to wind up. Before the whole assembly. Here's what so-and-so said about you. Well, that's not true. That's not the way it happened. Why would he say that? I took care of that long ago. I got forgiveness for that long ago. Why would he be repeating that? You know how the story goes. Before the whole assembly. Slander is a foolish sin. It'll come back to get you. And so is uncontrolled anger. or being controlled by your anger. It just leads to embarrassment. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. Notice what he said, a fool's wrath is known at once. If you're the kind of person that you're mad and you just need to let everybody know you're mad when you're mad, that's foolish. It's a stupid sin. For a number of reasons. One of them is, it will lead to embarrassment. In fact, it is embarrassing in and of itself, like any stupid sin. I want you to think about right now with me. Can you think about the most embarrassing thing that you ever did or said? You got it? Now, can you think of the second most embarrassing thing that you ever did or said? If we kept on doing this until we got down to the 10th most embarrassing thing that you ever did or said, so all 10 things, most embarrassing that you ever did or said, I guarantee you that half of those, you were angry. Weren't you? You get mad, have an outburst, and as the Proverbs say, you make a fool out of yourself. Is that how you want to be seen? That's what anger does when we let it control us. 14:17 says that a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. You can be so far gone in this, having your temper control you, that even your loved ones will give up on you. Proverbs 19 and verse 19, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. You know, somebody gets in a fight and they wind up in jail, and you go get them and you bail them out, and 2 weeks later they get in the fight and they get in jail again. People don't learn their lesson. They learn what kind of person you are. Consider the stupidity of abusing your own family. God has placed us in families. He's blessed us with husbands, wives, children to help us in this life. I do not know what I would do without my family. We were just talking about this last night. My daughter-in-law, Lindsay, and my grandson, Clay, were over at the house last night. They're back from Texas. My son, Eric, is still in Texas with his job, so they're going to be separated for a few weeks. And I was talking with Lindsay about how hard that is to be separated from family. And, you know, you get to where Eric, I talked to him on the phone night before last, and he said, I'm having trouble sleeping because I'm used to Lindsay and Clay being here. And I said, I know how you feel. Every time I go in a gospel meeting and I don't take Sandy with me, that's exactly how I am. It's hard to get to sleep. I feel out of sorts. Here are people that I've learned to rely on in my life, that I count on. They bless my life in so many ways. And I'm going to take one of these, a husband or a wife or a child, and I'm going to be abusive to them? How smart is that? Whether it's abusive language or physical abuse of some sort, or if you're a child and you're just disobedient and rebellious to your parents, how smart are you being? I mean, really. Look at what the Proverbs says about that. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You want to grieve your mother? You think it's wise, young people, to get your mother mad? That is not a smart thing to do. It's foolish. Look at 15 and verse 20. Again, a wise son makes his father glad. You think it's a good thing to get your father happy or sad? You want him to be happy or mad? A foolish man despises his mother. 17 and verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. You get the point. Children, by your cooperation and obedience or lack thereof, you can definitely change the mood of your parents. And I just want to tell you this, it's really obvious, but you want your parents on your side. You want to keep your parents happy. Things will be much better for you in your life if you'll keep your parents happy. And it's foolish to do anything else. Keep your parents happy when they tell you to do what's right. And the same thing with a spouse. A spouse who constantly nags or berates drives away the very one that they need the most. Think about what Proverbs 19:13 says. The contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Can you stand that when there's this drip, 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 drip? You ever try to go to bed at night and maybe somebody's left the faucet in the bathroom dripping and you hear it? Just can't stand it. I've got to get up and turn that off. It's so annoying. Wives, is that how you want to be to your husbands? You're just so annoying that they can't stand it? Is that the mood you want to put them in? And husbands can be just the same to the wives. Nagging them, being overbearing, unappreciative for what they've done and what they're doing. It's foolishness. Related to what we talked about earlier in slander, the uncontrolled tongue is foolishness. In chapter 19 and verse 1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. The person who doesn't control his tongue gets himself in trouble. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. Chapter 12 and verse 13 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction. Chapter 18 and verse 7, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So you say things, you get yourself in trouble by what you say. Say the wrong thing, young people, to a teacher at school. Say the wrong thing, older folks, to your boss. Lie or curse or use your tongue in a way that is inappropriate at the time to the wrong person. And see how much trouble you get yourself in. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his own soul. The Proverbs say a lot about the use and non-use of the tongue. And the best thing to do with your tongue is to keep it behind your lips. The best thing to do with your mouth is to keep it closed most of the time. In the abundance of words, he says, sin is not wanting. So, Proverbs 13 and verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And 17 and verse 20, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. And then, consider the stupidity of intoxication. Getting drunk. We had an illustration of that at the beginning of the lesson with the man who called the police on himself. I have never known. I've known a number of people who were drinkers. I've had interaction with a number of people who were drunk in my lifetime. I've never known one that I would describe as intelligent at that time. Now, intelligent people, smart, otherwise smart people can get drunk, but they're not smart when they're drunk. None of them are. Listen to Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. There was a time when I first began preaching when I guess I was naive. I don't know. I thought anybody who even claimed to be a Christian would know that you need to stay away from alcohol. All you have to do is look around. I mean, you don't even have to be half paying attention and see the lives that are ruined, not just the automobile accidents, but the families that are torn apart, the crimes that are committed, the utter foolishness that results from drinking. As I said, when I first started preaching, I assumed that everybody could see that. To my astonishment, over the last decade or two, I've discovered that many, many people can't apparently see that. Can't see the stupidity of drinking. Don't get, well, what's so wrong with that? Are you kidding? Look at what the Proverbs say to us in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29. There's no justification. I'm about to go ballistic here, I think. But there's no justification for this. There's no way that a Christian should engage in this. It's as foolish a thing as there ever was. And just because the world doesn't see it and all of our football games and baseball games are paid for by advertising from alcohol doesn't make it any smarter. And just because the advertisements at the end of the advertising say drink responsibly doesn't mean you can't. Nobody ever does. No such thing. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. The Proverbs are saying, not even... He's not saying don't sip it. He's saying, you know, it's okay to take a little bit. He's saying don't even look at it. Is that clear? I don't think it could be any clearer. At the last, it bites like a serpent, it stings like a viper, your eyes will see strange things, your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. So here's a guy in this condition, just completely out of his head, abusing his body. And he wakes up and says, when shall I awake that I may seek another drink? People can't see the foolishness of that. The foolish mock at sin. Proverbs 14 and verse 9 says, the devil is entertained. I don't know how, of course, the devil comes about all the information that he has about us and what's going on in our lives. But if there's a channel that he sees, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, that is programs of people sinning, I just imagine he just gets a really big kick out of that. He's going to laugh all the way to the judgment day to see how foolish we can be. In Proverbs 15 and verse 21, the King James Version says, folly is a joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. The contemporary English version, which is really a paraphrase, puts that verse this way. Stupidity brings happiness to senseless fools, but everyone with good sense follows the straight path. Do you get the point? Sin is stupid. Sin makes a person stupid. Sin robs us of good judgment. It is deceitful. It causes us to waste our lives and waste our opportunities. Don't be stupid. This morning, maybe someone here is caught up in a sin. I want you to look at it. It may be one that we've talked about this morning. Maybe some other sin. I want you to look at yourself. And for one moment, don't see yourself as God sees you. Don't see yourself as you'd like to or you think your friends see you. just for one moment right now, I want you to see yourself as the devil sees you. Because you are entertaining him with your foolishness. Won't you make it right? Be wise. Turn away from sin. Live for Jesus. Please come while we stand and while we sing.